Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio app.
It's 30 years since a Royal Air Force Chinook helicopter crashed on the Mull of Kintyre in Scotland. There were no survivors. All 25 passengers and four crew were killed in the crash. Among the passengers were security services experts, members of the RUC and the British Army, including the majority of the UK's senior Northern Ireland intelligence and counter-terrorism experts. This weekend, 16 of the bereaved families have joined to form the Chinook Justice Campaign. They're looking for access to documents and answers about their family members' deaths. On behalf of the Chinook Justice Campaign, we're joined now by UK-based human rights lawyer Caoilín Gallagher, KC, and by David Walmsley, Editor-in-Chief at Canada's Globe and Mail newspaper. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. I might turn to you, David, first of all, because as a young journalist at the Belfast Telegraph, you covered this story from the beginning, and you still do. Take us right back to the 2nd of June 1994. What happened?
Thanks very much, Cormac. It's a great opportunity to tell this story. So on the 2nd of June, the aircraft crashed at around 6 o'clock in the evening, and by 7 o'clock it was hitting the news headlines and people had a sense that there was a very significant news event. It soon became clear it was a military helicopter, and by later in the evening it was known that there were 29 people on board. So I was over on the Mull of Kintyre, having left the Belfast newsroom early on the 3rd of June. Wasn't allowed close to the scene because it had happened in an isolated area by the Mull of Kintyre lighthouse, but it was clear at that point who the 29 people were. They were, as you say, there were 10 RUC Special Branch, 9 military officers, including military intelligence, 5 MI5, and 1 civil servant working for the Northern Ireland office. So it was the largest loss of life that we had seen in a single incident involving the security forces in the 30 years of the Troubles.
And what kind of information, as a journalist, were you getting from the authorities about the crash and the people at the time, David?
Well, at the time, it was a very muddied response. At first, the government had said that the names of the MI5 members should not be released, and they realized within 24 hours that that was impractical, and they did allow for the names to be released. But the certainly the comments from the officials who were in and around the scene were saying, you know, this was a Chinook helicopter. It was a very well-understood, reliable helicopter, but there was no reference to the fact that it was actually a Mark II helicopter. It was a new version of the helicopter. It wasn't understood, and we discovered many, many years later that it wasn't trusted by the pilots who were flying it.
There were a number of investigations after the crash, weren't there? What came of them?
That's right. The biggest one, I suppose, in the immediate aftermath was at the fatal accident inquiry, which was reviewing a decision that had been made by the Royal Air Force Board of Inquiry. And the RAF Board of Inquiry had said, without any evidence, that the pilots were grossly negligent. The two senior reviewing officers simply said it was their opinion that the pilots were grossly negligent, and that opened up a real sore with the families. And the feeling was very much, well, how can you say that when there's no survivor, there's no eyewitness, there's no radar trace, there's no black box recorder on board? And it became a real cri de coeur for so many people to say, if you're going to say that, you're going to have to show it. So the fatal accident inquiry, which took place in Scotland a couple of years later, was looking at the issues. And in the end, the sheriff, the judge in Scotland who reviewed the case, he said that the finding was unsafe and that the pilots should not have been blamed. It went from there to the House of Commons, to the Defence Select Committee, to the House of Commons Public Affairs Committee, and ultimately to the House of Lords, where Lord Philip did a review together with a number of law lords, and they concluded that the finding equally was unsafe. And in fact, Cormac, what's interesting is that of all the evidence that has come out over the last 30 years, there hasn't been a single piece of evidence that supports the idea that the pilots were at fault.
Do you know, it really strikes me as you're talking, David, the gnawing sense of injustice that the families, the bereaved families, must feel all of these years later, because it took 17 years for that verdict of negligence to be overturned. And ever since then, no cause for the crash outlined, no documents coming forward, no explanation. And I suppose, stay with me, I'll bring in Caoimhín Gallagher, Casey, at this point. I suppose this is where you come in now. This is, for the very first time, Caoimhín, a combined effort for all of the families who are bereaved and involved in this.
That's right. So as you said at the start, Cormac, it's 16 families who came together today to launch the Chinook Justice campaign. But in fact, over the course of the day, a number of additional families have pledged their support too. And it's the first time they've come together as a group. But you know, to many listeners, they will know of other cases which involve bereaved families, victims of injustice, left for decades without answers to the most basic fundamental questions about what went wrong and why. You know, the Stardust fire, the Hillsborough disaster, the post office scandal, the infected blood inquiry. And to that list, we've got to add this Chinook disaster, because we're now in a situation where 30 years ago, 29 people went to work, never came home to their families. And although there have been a series of processes over the years, all they've done is they've told us now what did not happen, i.e. the pilots were not grossly negligent, not what did happen and why. Mm-hmm. And the families have been left after 3 decades with no answers. And shockingly, in the last number of months, many of them have found out that, in fact, key documents related to the case have been locked away for 100 years till 2094.
Why?
Many of my clients are in their 70s, you know, and have been waiting for justice for a long time. And the documents will only be revealed long after they're gone.
Yeah. And my question is, why? We know documents of a sensitive nature are sealed very often. But why for 100 years? Is that common in situations like this?
Well, the short answer is no, it's not common. It's extremely unusual and unprecedented in a case like this, because these are documents which go to the most basic questions about what happened and whether anything went wrong, whether concerns about airworthiness of the Mark II were known to the Ministry of Defence at the time, what decisions were taken. Now, of course, because of the nature of the people on board, there may be sensitivities which require redactions, for example, to documents. But locking away wholesale the entire documents for 100 years is deeply shocking. And this is a situation where the bereaved families all have fundamental rights under the European Convention to an adequate, swift investigation, which is effective and which involves them. And they have never had that in 30 years, which is shocking.
What specifically then? I know you say that the families have never got answers, but what specifically are they looking for?
So at this stage, as the families have come together, and with it being a very sensitive weekend, obviously with the anniversary falling on Sunday on the 2nd of June, mm-hmm. at this stage, their requests are twofold. We'd call them the two A's. They want access to all of the documents, and they want answers about what happened. That's their two main focuses. Modest requests, you would think, and things which bereaved families really shouldn't have to be fighting for 3 decades on.
This could be done, Caoimhín, with the stroke of a pen, couldn't it?
It could indeed. Now, of course, this is also falling at a time when there is a vacuum of power in the UK because of the general election in the UK coming up on the 4th of July. And the families wanted to launch the campaign today to coincide with the anniversary. And they're very clear that whoever is in number 10 Downing Street in July, the families want to urge them to do the right thing by their loved ones and by these families, by the 29 victims who died dedicating their lives to service. And they want whoever's in power to give them access to the documents and answers.
I'm sure it's quite possible that relatives of those who were on board and the crew in particular have gone to their graves without ever knowing what really happened, without ever feeling a sense of justice. And unless the documents are released, there is the possibility that more relatives will go to their graves. And they all gather together, David, this weekend, as we alluded to there, in the Mull of Kintyre, for a memorial. How poignant will that be? How hopeful do you think they are of getting answers this time?
Well, I think what's striking about this is that many of those who are looking for these answers and this access are the children. The children, three of whom were not born at the time of their father's deaths, and many of them who were primary school children at the time, who've now turned into their late 30s or their 40s. And for some of them, for the first time, I've spoken to them, they're saying we didn't really have any idea that this was something that was unanswered. We'd taken at face value what the government had said, but there are clues throughout the last 30 years. Sir John Major, who was the Prime Minister, Malcolm Rifkind, who was the Defence Secretary, they both felt that the pilots being blamed was unfair, and they felt that they had been poorly briefed by their officials. So when you imagine that a memo that was uncovered the day before the crash that said that the aircraft should not be flown because it was not airworthy, and yet the passengers were put on board, just causes extreme outrage and upset for the families, especially at the 30th anniversary. And if that one memo that was obtained through good journalistic investigations turned up, what is there in the official record that could be freed up so there could be a better understanding, if not indeed a definitive answer?
And finally, Caoimhín, the last stinging irony and poignancy here is that these people worked for the state and they wanted to believe what the state was saying.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, these are people who dedicated their lives to working for the state and working on the most sensitive of issues. And that really adds to the sense of injustice now. It's a stain, really, on the UK that this has happened and that it remains unresolved after so many years. And it's worth saying also that, of course, this happened just very shortly before the first of the IRA ceasefires in the 1990s. It's at a time which was critical to the peace process. And of course, what you get when you have an information vacuum and you don't have clear answers is that conspiracy theories tend to grow in proportion to the silence of the state too. So the families have also had to deal with disinformation, conspiracy theories over the years too. Could I just add, David mentioned the issue about the children of Chinook, and many of my clients, you know, they range from people who are now very elderly, and as you say, a number of the family members have indeed died without ever getting justice. But some of them are much younger. And one of the individuals who is supporting the campaign and spearheading it is Matthew Tobias. And he was aged 10 when his father was killed. He's now 40. And that gives you a real sense of what the families are dealing with. This has dominated their entire lives. And they decided today, enough is enough. And they want this to be resolved as quickly as possible.
And all they want are answers. Look, we'll keep an eye on the Chinook Justice Campaign. UK human rights lawyer Caoimhín Gallagher KC and David Walmsley, editor-in-chief at The Globe and Mail. Thank you both very much indeed.